May God's grace, His peace, His abundant mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the one we shout hallelujah to all of our days. Amen. I want to talk about Revelation 7 today, the life of the saints in paradise. Pray with me. Lord, you promise that your word will accomplish what you desire it to accomplish. Your word will not return to you empty. We ever pray that as your word goes out, accomplish in us great faith, draw us close to you, give us hope, joy, and peace all our days. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to begin today by asking two questions. One you probably will know, the other you probably will not know. And I asked this in Bible class today, and they kind of followed that theme. Knowledge of one, not knowledge of the other. Anybody here want to show off a bit and can stand up right now and recite the Ten Commandments? No one's so bold. You're all scared. All right. I think most of us know the Ten Commandments. I have a hunch most of us do. Real quickly to paraphrase, have no other gods before me. Number one. Number two, do not misuse God's name. Number three, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Love God, the first three. Number four, kids, say it real loud. Honor your father and mother. Five, do not murder. Six, do not steal. Oh, I caught you, huh? Do not commit adultery. Seven, do not steal. Eight, do not give false testimony against your neighbor. Nine, do not covet your neighbor's house. And 10, do not covet your neighbor's wife. Manservant, maidservant, ox, donkey, anything belongs to your neighbor. The Ten Commandments, many of us know them. Many of us even know Luther's meanings to the commandments, and that's good. Second question. And no one in the Bible class got this. They all looked at me dumbfounded. Who can tell me the 10 comforts of heaven? Well, maybe someone from Bible class now can if they memorized them the last hour. You look at me a bit bewildered. What, pastor, are the 10 comforts of heaven? Never heard of the 10 comforts of heaven. Well, you should have. If we know the 10 commandments, the law, how much more the 10 comforts of heaven, the gospel, where we're going to go. The 10 comforts of heaven are listed there in Revelation 7. At the end of the text there in Revelation 7, John sees the saints, the white robes, the palm branches, they're crying out in praise to God. Then there's a description of heaven in 10 statements or 10 phrases. These are called the 10 comforts of heaven. Memorize them, know them. If you look at the end of the text, at the bottom there of the one page, comfort number one, they are before the throne of God. Same with me if you're looking along. Number two, and serve him day and night in his temple. And number three, he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Number four, they shall hunger no more. Number five, neither thirst anymore. Number six, the sun shall not strike them. Number seven, nor any scorching heat. Number eight, for the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. And number nine, he will guide them to springs of living water. And number 10, the climax, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. I want to have a sermon series beginning today, All Saints Sunday, on these 10 comforts of heaven. It has been said that we just don't talk enough about heaven. And I'm going to have a whole month here about heaven, talking about these 10 comforts. And there's more about heaven throughout the Bible, of course, zeroing on these 10 comforts. We are in November now, which ends the church year. Soon Advent will come, the beginning of a new church year. November is always about the last day, the second coming of Jesus. And where do we all go? We all go to heaven. So let's dwell on heaven. And we do this not to kind of escape or deny reality of trouble in the earth. Not why we do this. We do this to give us hope and peace and joy in our hearts and great faith to face the tribulation and trouble of the earth. That's why we focus on heaven. And so my four topics broken down from the 10 comforts are the following. Today I want to talk about heaven being a place of honor for the saints. Next Sunday, a place of unspeakable happiness. The next Sunday, a place of complete full healing. And finally, the lesson to church here at the end of November, heaven is our home. Heaven being our eternal home. Today, All Saints Sunday, I begin with heaven being the place of honor for the saints. We often are not honored here on earth. We're dishonored. We're put down. We're ridiculed, laughed at. That's how it is on this earth. We bear the cross. But in heaven, we are honored by our God, the center of God's attention. The first two comforts teach us this. Comfort number one, where are the saints? Where are we going to be when we get to heaven? We are before the throne of God. And then comfort number two, as we are there before the throne of God, what do? We serve Him day and night in His temple. These two comforts would teach us the great honor that our God bestows on the church because we are so dishonored now. Let me say three things about these two comforts in regards to honor. We are before the throne of God. It is comfort number one. God wants to know right where we are, right before the throne. We learn here that we in heaven, we people in heaven, as sinful as we are here on earth, we in heaven, though, we are the center of God's attention. We are the center of attention. Of course, God above all is the center of attention, but we are right there with Him. He shares His glory with us. He shares His majesty with us. He wants us close to Him. So where does He put us? Right smack in front of Him. We are not stuck off in the corner. All right, all you people, you're over in the corner. I want the angels around me. You people over in the corner, you sin too much. We're not in some closet somewhere in heaven. Just stick them in a closet, God says. No. We're not in the back pews. Just kind of be in the back. Although, folks in the back, you're very important as in the front here in church. Doesn't say us in the back, over to the side, over in a closet. Where does God put the church? Right in front of Him. Because He loves us. The angels are not right in front. The archangels are not right in front. They're around, but they're not right in front. And all the other creatures are not right in front. We, the church, we're right in front. He can't take His eyes off of us. We are the center of His attention. He wants to be close to us. That we share all things with Him. What an honor. What an honor. When I read this text of the saints being in white robes and before the throne, I think of a wedding. A common picture of heaven in the Bible is of a wedding reception, a beautiful wedding. And what does the bride wear on her wedding day other than a white gown? She does that to symbolize the church being married to Christ. And so this is our wedding day described here. We're in the white robes. It's our wedding day. And who gets all the attention on the wedding day? The bride does. She gets all the attention. The groom gives her all the attention too. Everybody looks at the bride. And that's kind of the picture of heaven. We're the center of God's attention. We are His royal diadem, His treasure possession. We are His bride. He wants us close, right there with Him. We get all the attention shared with Him because He loves us that much. I mean, fellas, think back to your wedding reception. When you were married and then the reception that followed, who did you want to sit by at the reception, men? Who did you want to kiss? And you couldn't wait for them to knock on the glass that you might get a kisser again? Was it your mother-in-law? Was it your mom? Dear mom? Was it your sister? Who did you want to dance with? Who did you want to take? I shouldn't say we wanted to take pictures, but we did take pictures, men. Who did you want to take pictures with? Want to stand by? Want to be close to? Want to look at and adore and hold and dance again and kiss again and be with her? Your bride. Why? Because you love her. And you can't get enough of her. Come close. And that is, even now, God wants us to come close. I love you, you're my bride. But even that much more fuller in heaven, front and center, before the throne, the honor God gives to the church to share His glory. All eyes on us, along with Him. Also, as we are before the throne, another great honor is that we get to see our God face to face. He sets us right in front of Him so that He can see us, because He does love. We're radiant and beautiful to Him, covered in His righteousness. Beautiful we are to Him. Even today, as we have faith, we're beautiful to Him. He smiles at us today, doesn't He? We get to see him face to face too. He sees us, looks at us, gazes at us. Oh, wow, my church. And we get to look at him and gaze at him. And see him as 1 John says, just as he is. Who'd like to see God? Dear friends, that's the greatest thing about heaven. That's why it's mentioned first here. We're going to be glad to see each other. And glad to see all the folks we miss. We will do a lot. That whole reunion is there. We'll enjoy it. But above all, we get to see our God, our bridegroom, who died and rose. We get to behold his glory forever and ever. And we won't be able to take our eyes off of God. If I don't say hi to you in heaven, forgive me. Because I'm staring at God. And I can't get enough of my God. I'll get to you a little later. Maybe a few million years later after I've stared at God for a while. And you do the same for me. Theologians call this the beatific vision. This is the high point of heaven. It's all a high point. This might be the highest point. We get to just stare at God and be in awe of God. You're not going to get to heaven and say, oh, there's God. What else is here? Wow, God. Heaven is an eternity because it takes that long to look at God. We want to look at him and look at him and stare at him and be in awe of him. Seeing him face to face, all his glory and majesty, all that he is, face to face. Wow. What do we see here on this earth? What do we see this past week? A hurricane. Tremendous damage up north. We pray today for them. That's what we see. We see two politicians. We're sick of their faces, aren't we? Neither one of them is that good looking. Don't we just want to get it over with? Vying for the presidency. Just get it over with, please. We see trouble in the Middle East. War, revolutions, fighting, persecution. Walk out here someday, you see a lot of people walking up and down the road starving, hungry, homeless. Who knows what their problem is? Pain, misery. Look at your prayer list. We could probably add double the names on there. People suffering and pain. That's often what we see with our eyes. Now we see a lot of trouble, a lot of tribulation, a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, hurricanes and war and everything else. And so God in his mercy, knowing that, we bear the cross now. We're dishonored. We don't get to see a lot of good stuff. God, knowing that, when we get to heaven, he puts us front and center. He is saying, come, I have something I want you to see. It's the most amazing, the most brilliant, the most incredible thing you could ever see, which is God himself on his throne that we've longed for. I learned a new term in my Reader's Digest, and the new term out is the term bridezilla. Anybody heard of a bridezilla? It's a new term. I hope my daughter Megan, who's getting married next summer, is not a bridezilla. A bridezilla is a young woman that's going to be married, but she is stressed out because of all the details. The worry of the wedding planning, and she's stressed out, and she's grumpy, and she's mad because he's got to pull everything together. She is bridezilla. Look out for bridezilla. And you know what comforts bridezilla? Seeing her fiance. So, Carter, where are you? And as she sees her fiance, she's reminded, this is what it's all about. Not all the worries and details, but I'm in love. And I want to be with this man forever. And now we are the bride of Christ, but sometimes we are bridezilla. We're so worried about things in life, so stressed out about all the things of life, this, that, and the other thing. What comforts bridezilla, the church? Looking at our husband, Jesus. Looking at the nails and the crown of thorns. Beholding him as we think of his resurrection. Looking at the bread and wine, knowing it's his body and blood. Looking at baptism, a little Madeline, knowing that Christ is there in the water. That gives us comfort, peace, and hope. And knowing we will see him face to face in heaven, no more bread and wine, no more water, no more pastors, no more word, just Jesus face to face. That's hope and comfort. And then last of all, comfort number two, we are told that as we are before the throne, we serve him. A better word is worship. We worship him day and night in his temple. Another great, great honor. When we read those words, we are to think back to the Levites of the Old Testament. For it was the Levites of the Old Testament that served God or worshiped God day and night in the temple. They were there literally day and night. That was their work, the work of the Levites. They were the priests. And what they do, they offered sacrifices all the time, day and night, offering sacrifices. Then they went back in the holy place and they kept the candlestick. They were the acolytes keeping the candles lit. And they offered up prayers at the table of incense. They offered prayer after prayer after prayer for the people. That was their service. They kept bread on the table of showbread. And then once a year, the high priest went back to the ark and sprinkled blood on the ark. That was their work. But notice in heaven, it's all the saints that are before the throne of God, not just the Levites, but all nations, all languages, all people, young and old, boy and girl, everybody that believes in his baptism. We're all there before the throne, not just the Levites. Everybody is. But what is our work? We don't offer sacrifices. Christ has been our sacrifice, is today. We don't light the candles. The light of God shines in heaven. Why do we got to light candles when you have God there? We don't offer prayers in heaven. All our prayers are fulfilled in heaven. We don't offer any prayers. They're all fulfilled when we get to heaven. We don't have to ask for anything in heaven. We got everything. We don't put bread on a table. Why? Because God feeds us with the best of wines, the finest of meats. And we don't go behind a curtain and sprinkle blood because we're right there with God face to face. No curtains, no distance. And so what do? If we're not sacrificing, lighting candles, putting out bread and praying, what do? We sing and we praise him. And we praise him, and we praise him. What do? We praise him endlessly, forever and ever. That's another reason why heaven is forever. It takes that long to thank God for what he's done. We have here in Revelation 7, two short songs of praise. This is what the saints are singing right now. Say them with me. Repeat after me. Let's hear you. This is right from the saints crying out, Revelation 7. Just repeat after me. Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. And then a little bit lower, it goes to again what they're praying, what they're praising God with. Amen. Come on. Amen. Blessing and honor. Wisdom and thanksgiving. Honor and power and might. Be to our God. Forever and ever. Amen. You're kind of lazy saints with still a sinful flesh, and so am I. That's what we do. We praise him and praise him and praise him. I lost my wallet this week. I got it back, but I lost my wallet at McDonald's. God's teaching me a lesson about going to McDonald's. I went to the drive-thru, and I was getting my food, and somehow my wallet fell out of my van onto the ground there where you pick up your food. So I drive home. Where's my wallet? I must have left my wallet at McDonald's because I paid for the money there. And you know the panic that's in your mind. Oh my, I got like $30 in my wallet. Oh no, oh my driver's license, my credit cards, it's all going to be gone. Oh no, my little treasure of a wallet. So I drive back to McDonald's, run inside. Wait, is there a manager here? Manager, please, did someone turn in a wallet? I lost my wallet here. No, sir, I'm sorry, there's no wallet here. No. But then the young man, high school kid, there at the drive-thru window, he looks out the window hearing our conversation, looks down at the ground and says, sir, everybody in the whole McDonald's is paying attention now. What happened to this poor guy? Your wallet's right down here on the ground. So what do? I run around outside, stop the traffic, get the traffic back up at McDonald's. My wallet's been driven over about five times. Pick up my wallet there at the drive-thru window, and the young man is there. And the young man gives me a fist pump. All right. You know what he says? Praise the Lord, dude. And I said, yeah, praise the Lord, dude. You know, we praise God for little treasures. And Thanksgiving's coming up. We praise him for all the blessings of life, and our wallet included. Dear friends, what a treasure we have, though. Not in our back pocket. Forgiveness. Faith. The Holy Spirit, and the treasure of the gold streets of heaven, and the pearly gates, and the resurrection of my flesh, and seeing God face to face. That's praise the Lord. We'll leave off the dude. Say it with me. Praise the Lord. One more time. Praise the Lord. So, the honor of heaven, the first two comforts. They are before the throne of God. Worship Him day and night in His temple. Next Sunday, we continue with the happiness, the unspeakable happiness of heaven. Join us. Amen. We stand. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.